Hello and welcome back to the Anything But Quiet Time podcast. My name is Carter. This is Rochelle, where we talk about our quiet times out loud. It's an out loud version of the quiet time. Please stop me. I have gotten into a sentence I can't get out of.
And there's like a pattern to it.
To it? Because I know that there's going to be another thing.
If you talk like this, you would sound a
little bit
like William Shatner from Star Trek.
So that was good. I like that. If you want to watch, you can text the word quiet to the number 893-893. That is, if you're listening right now, you can watch. If you're watching, you can also choose to listen instead.
I know that Carter has a four-year-old, almost a four-year-old at home. When you point to your ear and say, unless you want to listen.
You're listening. Do you have your listening ears on?
And then you can watch us.
Yes, that's via YouTube. You can listen via Apple and Spotify.
Oh my word.
And now it's time for a nap.
So Daddy can go watch who won the game.
Yes, it's exactly right. Yes.
Okay.
I'm excited about this. This is very millennial of you.
This is millennial?
This is a two-parter.
What?
You have 5 points.
Yeah.
On a relationship with God, but I'll let you, I don't want to spoil your title, but when I heard you say it, I'm like, that is so millennial and I love it.
Okay. DTRs.
DTRs.
And I never, this is how not millennial I am.
You are
Gen X. I had never heard of a DTR.
Define or determine the relationship.
And those moments in your relationship, like when was one with you and your wife, Kelsey?
Well, we were friends first. And so we eventually defined the relationship. You know, that's where it kind of goes from that you're friends and all of a sudden it's on Facebook.
Right.
It's complicated. Or, nope, fully, I'm in a relationship with so-and-so. And they clicked accept on that because they are in a relationship with you.
So my family and I, we've been watching The Big Bang Theory, which I'd never watched. Why do I do this? I watched The Office after it was over.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah.
I watched Big Bang Theory now that it's over.
Right, yeah.
But it is interesting. One of the main characters, his name is Sheldon. He has a contract for everything.
Contract.
And so if a DTR is about to take place in any relationship, like his roommate, there's a contract.
Okay.
When he finally gets a girlfriend, there's a contract.
What is his contract with the roommate? It's like, don't touch my stuff.
I couldn't even tell you how many pages it is. Okay. It's ridiculous stuff. Like, you can't whistle in the apartment. Like,
it's just that's a really good idea.
Thing after that, like, and he's got it all written down. And of course, it all benefits him.
Of course, yeah.
And nothing benefits his poor roommate, Leonard. But what's really awesome about these DTRs is that they are meant to benefit us. Mm. And they are defining relationship points between God and his people.
Yeah.
And they are covenant contracts, if you will.
Sure. Okay.
Like he says this stuff and he's like, if you follow this stuff, then you're going to be great.
Yeah.
And he should know because think about an inventor. If somebody was on hand to help you when the light bulb was first invented. Now, I know there's been dispute over who actually invented it or not. You'd want either Edison or the real guy who invented it to be there on hand to help you work out the kinks.
Yeah.
The same is true for your life. The inventor of people and everything else.
Wouldn't he know?
I think he would know. So let him write the contract, and he does.
Yeah.
And one of the first ones he does is with Adam. And there was, I'm taking this course online, which is, I'm just blown away that I am saying these words and delighting in them now that I'm in my late 40s, because when I was a child, right, you could not wait to get out of this kind of stuff. Courses,
right, lectures.
Come on, there's a test?
Right, yeah.
Then there are, they're cute little online tests.
But when you find something you're interested in and passionate about, it is fun to dig deeper and learn.
And you write notes and you get excited about telling other people. And so if I had a flannel graph board right now, I think that would be super appropriate to share with you what I've learned from this course regarding creation. Mm, okay. So I've always kind of struggled with the days of creation and remembering them. And by the way, there's no test to your Christian faith. And like, what if I flunk in knowing the days of creation and what was created? There's nothing like that.
Right.
Unless, of course, you're in private Christian school and there is a test that day. Then I apologize.
That's a man-made test. Yes, indeed. Yes.
But God created these days and it's fascinating. You see in the way that he did it, that he had such structure planned that everything was precise and nothing was amiss. Mm-hmm. So the very first 3 days of creation are basically, he sets up a blank canvas. And I mean, you've seen these scenes created for us, whether they're AI scenes or actual real beach scenes that are there as screensavers or, you know, on your homepage there on your computer. And maybe hopefully you you see a seagull every once in a while, but most of the time you're filling up those scapes with your little icon things that you can click on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God set up scapes for him to then go back in and put the people or the pictures or the animals. So the first day he created light and dark, and the light he gave the name day, and the dark he gave night. The day that kind of goes along with that is the fourth day.
Okay.
So if you were looking at this in blocks, I've already probably caused confusion. Let's look at the first 3 days of creation like those are 1, 2, and 3 blocks. And then right below them, 4, 5, and 6 blocks. So they're sitting on one of it on top of one another.
Yeah.
Its correlating block would be number 4. It'd be the block right below it. So we got the scape of, okay, there's light and dark. There's day and night. Now he's filling them up with stars day 4.
Yeah.
Okay. We got planet happening. Planet happening. Grammar, we don't have happening, but yeah. We got planet happening.
Well, you know how you make sure to invent a universe.
Oh, how do you?
You plan it.
Oh, you plan it.
You plan it, see?
Yeah. Is that the last one? I just want to be able to count on your,
I don't know.
Count on your honesty.
They just pop out, so I really can't tell you. And I'm sorry about that, but I can't tell you.
So let's go to the next block, and it's correlating block. The next block would be 2. And on the second day, he divided up like the waters. So now we have the atmosphere, the sky, and we have the oceans, mm-hmm. which covered the face of the planet. Well, the correlating block right below that, day 5, it's everything you put in the ocean and in the sky. It's the birds and the fish, everything on that day. I found this fascinating because I never thought about it this way before, Carter.
Sure.
That on the third day, which he created this incredible scape of everything we would ever need, by the way, he divided the waters from dry land. So now we have a place where we need water, obviously. We also need a place to walk around because we can't swim all day long. Despite what your children think in the pool during the summer, you can't swim all day. And then he put on the correlating day after he made vegetation and dry land, everything we would need to survive, he filled it then with the creatures that would depend on that. So on day 6, he created all the animals.
Yeah.
And he created you and he created me. There is a covenant that's formed between him and Adam. And Adam is that first real special. It's like everything else he called either, yeah, this is acceptable, this is good. But when he said that he, on day 6, when he created Adam, he was like, this is very good. Mm-hmm. On day 6, when he created a mate, for Adam, he created Eve. This was a very good day. This is now a complete situation. We have male and we have female. And then he gives this incredible legacy to Adam and Eve. He gives them the opportunity to be over the garden. So this is what you get to do. All this beautiful lushness that, by the way, I've already set up all the things that you need, it's in place. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the chicken before the egg, right? So he didn't have to do the planting. Adam did not have to do the farming, all of that stuff yet. I think that might've been part and parcel. He would have had really good conditions, clearly, because this was paradise to continue farming.
Yeah.
But everything was just given to him. And he said, okay, now I've placed you over it to watch, to tend. And there's this beautiful relationship, and you can enjoy all this food. The agreement is this: I will continue to provide for you, right? But I am asking that you hold off no tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's too much for your teeny tiny brain right now to comprehend the nature of good and evil right now. You need to know my nature, which is good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we know what happens. It's the contract becomes null and void. And they are now no longer allowed to be in perfect paradise. And I wonder even if Adam and Eve, see, God in his graciousness is already displaying that character. He's already showing us who he is. And perhaps before creation, it could be said that there was never anything to be gracious with or to, because if God's character is grace, if his character is love, but he has no other being to be these things with, he would probably on some scale feel like there's more here that I would like to continue to live on. So there's this beautiful thing that he wants. He wants to create a paradise for someone and share with them his goodness, his graciousness. Yeah. And what if Adam and Eve had come clean? I would be very fascinated to know what his answer would be. Yes, perfection is demanded, maybe you could say, but if they had owned, we have sinned. Mm-hmm. But they didn't do that. And they weren't able to grab hold of that potential grace that would have been there for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they were like, no, they did it. He did it. She did it.
Right.
Snake did it.
Yeah.
And so now that's kind of, that's gone.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of things you made me think of. One is, see, I've always heard it put, there's always been community, even before creation, because of Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Sure.
So there's always been community, but there's never been that. I mean, there's that just that full, I mean, God just, and I think it kind of ties back to the other thing you made me think of when he called Adam very good.
Yeah.
It's God wanted this.
Yes, yes.
And what we struggle with, I think what Christians struggle with a lot of the time is that God loves us. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But God doesn't really like me.
Mm, yeah.
And I think that's where when you kind of reset and you go back to one is he made a creation in the first place.
Yeah.
And then he called, you know, when man and woman entered the scene, he called very good.
Yes.
And just that if I can get that in my head, yeah, that God wanted this relationship with humans.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not sitting here with his arms folded constantly.
No.
Like, yeah, I love you. I have to because of, you know, I'm me, but he doesn't really like us. And that's just, it's just, it could be further from the truth.
It couldn't be. And he created us with free will, which some would say is, you know, this just, it's a huge conundrum, isn't it? Because if we have free will and he knew, if God knows everything, he knew that we would mess up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this some weird twisted, I'm in control kind of game? But no. Well, this is something that I wrote as I was pondering all of this, because these are kinds of questions, by the way, I do not think the Holy Spirit is mad at you for pondering. I think sometimes we just push things like that aside, but I think that those are questions that people around our faith are wondering. It,
right,
it puzzles them. All right. Hypothetically, if your God's real, then how could he be so good if he created us for the sole purpose of having something for himself? Isn't that selfish? But this is something, I do know this is what I wrote. The only reason Jesus came to this earth was to die for us, knowing, yes, that we would sin, we would fall to temptation. And the reason why he came is because he loved us. We are blessed with the choice to love him back. We were not born without choice, and we were not born without salvation, because he had a plan from the very beginning of time. And that plan was revealed through his son. A malicious God, which some would paint him to be, could not be defined when there's a salvation plan in place. One where he himself is put on the line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So going back to what you're saying, it's like, here's this God who has communion with who he is. And some would even speculate angels, you know?
Yeah, before us, certainly. Right?
I've heard speculation from outside sources that perhaps when some of the angels fell along with Lucifer, this was kind of a do-over for God, if you will. Whether that has any bearing in true theology or not, I don't know. But we do know that the angels also had a choice, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they chose, those who chose to remain with him are working with and for the Lord.
Sure.
The difference being in scripture is that God, we have in this covenant plan that we see unfold in these five DTR moments, is that our God, this is what makes him different from everything else and everyone else and their interpretation of who God is. It's not about how we have to do enough things to please him. Our God works for us, which is mind-boggling. But here's Isaiah 64:4. For since the world began, no ear has heard, no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. And then Acts 17:25, human hands cannot serve God's needs. He has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. So why would he create us in the first place? Because he is love. And perhaps there would have been a selfishness to not create something to love if he had hoarded love for himself alone.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, we could ponder this all day, but God created these incredible contracts with men, which he certainly did not have to do. And we see this monotheistic position with one God and Noah serving one God. Now, around Noah's time, this is our second point.
But before we get to second, how would you sum up determining the relationship with Adam?
That you recognize me as a person who has the plan for you and you can trust me with this.
Mm. That's good. Yeah.
And I think that every other plan is exactly the same. And we know the same God yesterday, today, forever is the same God, right? He doesn't stutter here.
Right.
We stutter.
Yeah.
We have problems. We have problems with idolatry. We want to put on the pedestal what we say we want to put on the pedestal. Mm-hmm. We'll get to Moses in a little bit, but that's the problem, I think, with the Israelites when they were in this polytheistic situation in Egypt and they had gotten away from the monotheistic tone that their ancestors, Jacob, Isaac, Abraham mm-hmm. had. They're starting to see this polytheistic and they're like, well, we saw that God parted the waters. We haven't seen him and we can't control the lava mountain situation over there. That's freaking us out. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So build this calf. That's the God who saved us. And we can control that, I think, is maybe partly out of fear. But the second DTR is with Noah. And once again, this is God's MO. Perfect. Our MO, we can suck it up a lot. we can stink up the room. And all these people doing their own thing, doing what they thought was fine. I can't even imagine how, I mean, there have been some movies, I think, that have really struck me deep with that weird feeling you get when it's just so the opposite
sure.
of what is yeah. good.
Yeah, I have to think, because we talked about, in fact, I referenced it last week or the week before about, you know, when we talked about, is it a regional flood? Is it a global flood? And when I did this lesson at Sunday school, you know, just thinking about Sodom and Gomorrah were bad enough that the city was going to be destroyed. Those cities were going to be destroyed. But the region or the world wasn't mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. those. So not only that, but also, you know, there's the, in the stories of Sodom and Gomorrah, if he can find how many good, righteous people right. he'll save the, and there was no even option here. It was, I'm going to find a guy
yeah.
that is only righteous because of his belief. Not because he was in children's shows and Sunday school lessons kind of lied to us about yeah. that. Noah was such a nice and good guy. Well, he was good because of his faith.
Yeah.
And it was a credit to him with righteousness. Anyway, but how bad
yeah.
was the world?
I don't know.
That God was like, I'm starting over.
Not good.
Not good.
You know, the absence of darkness comes with the presence of light. And the presence of light, I think, in that moment was so dim.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty dark space. I know when I was a little girl, that night light helped. Mm-hmm. But it didn't cancel all the darkness. And you can get very scared in that type of situation. And either you go along with it and just become a part of everything else. It's easier to do that, isn't it? Than sure. to try to stand up with your candle and be the lone light in the midst of all of it. That's why I'm really glad that, you know, God got us some LEDs with Jesus. I'm going to stop with this analogy right now. So Noah.
I wish you would have got a floodlight.
I thought all we right. were done
I'm
with
done.
Those.
I told you I can't control it.
Okay. All right. Galatians 5. Self. All right, that's
enough. I'm sorry.
She just threw him under that Christian bus. So Genesis 9, they've been through the flood. We're skipping over so much stink. Oh my word, and speak it. This is a terrible line, but one of the characters in Big Bang Theory was bringing up, so you really believe it was just one guy and he brought two of every animal into the ark. Mm-hmm. What did he feed the lions then? And this Christian woman pipes up, all the dead sinners that were floating by the boat. It was awful.
So, that is a good line. That is a good line.
My kids looked at my husband and said, do you think that's true? Anyway.
Well, all right.
Skipping
that's,
over
that's
all
for
that,
another podcast.
All
yeah.
that carnage. Right, yeah. So we get to Ararat. That's the mountain that, you know, they land on. They have to wait a little bit longer. The first thing that Noah does, which is just one of these things that, gosh, help us all. to do a better job of this, Lord. It's like the 10 leprous people that Jesus heals and only one came back to say thank you. Mm. Noah says thank you. You know, I don't know about you, but after a long trip, you get home. My husband is very good at this. I'm still a work in progress. When we drive up that driveway, thank you, Lord, for getting us home.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, just thank you, Lord. And Noah's like, he builds this altar. He has the clean and the unclean animals on the boat, but he takes some clean animals. He sacrifices them. He recognizes the Lord. And God is very pleased with this. And he's got this covenant set up again. I'm working for you guys. Noah, I'm working for you guys. I'm not going to destroy the earth again with floodwaters, okay? Mm-hmm. He puts the sign of the rainbow in the sky. It's this beautiful covenant between him and Noah. And yeah, things are good. Until they get messed up again.
Yeah.
And Moses comes along. And he's kind of a lengthy DGR. Do we have enough time to talk about a little Momo?
Is that what you're calling little Moses? Momo? I have to really clarify.
If there are any people named Moses out there, I do apologize for the trauma that may now be your future. People will call you, hey, Momo.
I think you should just apologize to one of the biggest figures of the Old Testament. But wow, that's a little, I'd never heard it. Say that. It's original here.
Yeah.
All right. So this would be the third one.
This is the third one.
Okay. Let's save it for next time.
We'll save it for next time.
But this is going to be a two-parter. So next week we're going to finish this thought. In fact, it's good. We need to take a week break after what you just said anyway.
But I also want to point out one more thing. And if you're watching the podcast, you'll be able to see these. See, I wore my Little Mermaid earrings. Can you see them?
Did you hand paint those?
I did. I hand painted those.
This is very good. It's very, very good.
So I've got Ariel here. I love these tales. They're just that. They are mythological tales. And it's always fascinating to me that there is a messianic character in these really incredible tales. And it's fascinating because I think it was our last podcast, you were talking about this belief system that if you went to a native island that never been touched by anybody else, that they would be an atheistic island.
That's what atheists say, is that the default setting is atheism.
So, you see in every single culture, there is a recognition of something greater and higher. There's something there that thirsts and longs for some sort of redemption. Mm-hmm. The difference being with our God, with our Jesus, there's nothing we can do to gain this precious gift. It is one we receive.
Yeah.
But you know, with the story of Triton and Ariel, the way that Disney depicts it, which is completely different than Hans Christian Andersen, but we see the same thing, him giving his life for his daughter and Ursula taking over, and then true love takes out the bad sea witch. And there is a lot of calamari all over the ocean after that.
Wow.
There again, is. And Triton.
You're going for it today.
Triton's revived, but again, there's like this all or nothing thing. It's either I give my life for her and everybody else is going to put because Ursula is now in control, or I just let Ariel go. Mm. Those are your only two determining, that's it, two roads. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jesus comes along and says, there is another way.
Yeah.
And the only way.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So
thank you for also just after all that you've said in the past couple of minutes with Momo and calamari that you would finish with a thought like that. I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Well, let's stop it now.
Okay. All right. So continue to be continued on DTR, determining the relationship with God. That is next week on the Anything But Quiet Time podcast.